Exodus 13, and just reading one verse, verse 21, it says, "The Lord went ahead of them," talking about the people of Israel as they were brought out of bondage in Egypt. "And the Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night." And so the whole emphasis this morning is on travel. And I wanted to give you, as I began last week, talking about travel essentials. And anybody that's done some traveling, you know, to make sure you've got those important things with you, right? And so this was a regular word that was used throughout the Old Testament. And even it says of one of the patriarchs, Jacob, he says, "I've traveled this earth for a long time. I've traveled it for 130 years. And like them, we're traveling. How many are glad that God has set us free? He set us free from bondage. And how many know that God's bringing us to a promised land that's greater than the promised land that was here? And we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds, right? And so we're headed somewhere. How many are headed somewhere and it's somewhere good? Right? And it's not going to end. It doesn't end here when the end of our journey on this earth doesn't end with retirement, right? It ends when we are with the Lord and we enjoy him forever and ever and ever. And I tell you the most important thing this morning, the most important thing I can say is we're gathered together. The most important question I can ask you is, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And that, folks, that's life. That's what it's all about. Amen? It's all about him. And nothing else matters unless we get that right. And you were created for that. You were created to know God, to walk with God, to fellowship with God. Amen? To be transformed into his image, which is part of the whole process of what we go through and why some of the tough things happen in our life. Because how many know we're changed and transformed? The things that change you are the tough challenges, right? How many know the easy times don't change you, right? They kind of cement you where you are. But the rough times, the challenging times are really the things that help shape you. And so embrace them with the help of the Lord, all right? And so anyway, I'm going to continue on with that thought. And I say again, the quote of Vance Havner, he said, "Life's not measured by length, but by depth. Birthdays tell how long we've been on the road, but they do not tell us how far we've traveled." And so I pray that you're traveling, moving forward and moving forward with God. And so I kind of jokingly talked about when we left that I felt pressured as we were, Lori and I were gone for an extended period. I said, I felt pressured to return like Moses, you know, with a face, the glory of the Lord and you know, stone tablets written by the finger of God. And I said, all I came back with was a moderate tan and a couple coconuts. And but sharing some travel essentials based upon just some of our experiences there and just sharing the trip with you, but also some of the things that came to mind as while we had that special time away. And it was kind of like was shared this morning. And they're talking about the kangaroos. And you're like, what nonsense, the kangaroo badge, you know. But how you know, God gave us creation and nature that we learn from that. They're an illustrated message. They're a live message to help us to learn specifics about the Lord, right? How many of you learn by sight? You see things, you learn it, you just see it. How many of you like when you got instructions? How many of you glad that they've got good picture images? Yeah, and they got to be right, though. Sometimes they're confusing or not clear. But I'm that way. A lot of us are that way. And so God has given us these images. And so last week I shared about some travel essentials. I started with choose a guide, right? Live ready. Trust God at all times, especially when on a small plane. Don't miss a blessing. And remember, God knows who you are and where you are. And this morning, I want to follow up with that and pick up with the sixth one. I'm going to share five more with you. And that is, and the sixth one is this. And I want you to look at your neighbor. All right, look at your neighbor. Say this to him. Enjoy life. Have you say amen. Right? Enjoy life because it goes by fast. And people say the older you get, the faster it goes. Yeah. I was waiting for the amens. And it just happened. But there's something even about this time, I think as we're approaching the end of time, it's like the hourglass seems to be just slipping away far more rapidly. I hear it not only in people that are in their golden years, but I hear from people in their middle years or even younger that it's just going by so fast. We're like, my word. And so enjoy it. How many know God wants you and I to enjoy life and to enjoy it with him? Jesus, we know what the enemy does, but Jesus came that you might have life and have it to the full, right? In 1 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, he says this, he said, put your hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God wants us to enjoy this wonderful life that he has given us. Amen? Are you enjoying it? Do you realize that second in the list of manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit, that second on the list is the word joy, followed only by love. Love, joy. Do you have joy? Are you experiencing joy? The joy of the Lord, right? The enemy wants to rob you and I of our joy. Nehemiah says in Nehemiah 8, he says, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so we Christians ought to be the most positive, joyful people in all the world. Amen? And you know, if we're lacking with in joy, we need to be filled or refilled with the Spirit of God. Because the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Right? Do you have the joy of the Lord? You have joy with you today. Amen. I remember years ago, a pastor told me, he was assistant superintendent of the Southern Missouri District, the man that I worked for, and he said that somebody called the district office and some minister on the other end, he said, I need some help. And they said, what do you need? He said, I just need some help. And he said, well, what do you want us to do? He said, just send somebody. Well, for what? What do you need? He said, just send anybody. These people are about to rob me of all my joy. Listen, how many of you know that nobody can really rob you of your joy? It's that old, the older country song says, the gospel song says, the world didn't give it to me, the world can't take it away. You remember that? We can give it away. There's things that can you know, try to influence or rob us of our joy. But God wants us to enjoy life and to enjoy it to the full, right? And so, folks, this life's going by so quickly, so enjoy it. Are you enjoying it? Enjoy the moments. Sometimes we get so focused on what's ahead or worried about tomorrow or thinking about this thing and that thing, we fail to enjoy the moment. Oh, have you ever been guilty of that? Just not really enjoying it like you should. I think it's one of the things we need to try to really, really make sure that we do as a church body is just to enjoy things and have some fun. Amen. How many of y'all like having fun? Yeah, amen. And, you know, not going around misery, gloom, despair, agony on me. You know, misery loves company. Well, I don't want to be in that company. Do you? Who wants to be around a joyless person, let alone a joyless Christian? Let the joy of the Lord strengthen us, build us up. And I pray, I sense joy in the house. And come from the presence of God. And it's not a surface thing, but it's a deep thing. Amen? So enjoy life. Another thing that I want to share with you, and that's what I think you saw the pictures of me and Lori up there. But man, we had a great time, and we just had a blast, just enjoying. Are you doing that? Amen. I pray that you'll experience the joy of the Lord. Just enjoy the good things of God. But moving to the next thing, and that is make room for rest and recreation, relaxation. Right? And we were able to enjoy some beautiful places up there. Just some beautiful, peaceful places on the beach and beautiful churches that were there and the ocean views and all of that. Just peaceful, take it in and just sense God and just take in the Lord and his goodness. Amen. I mean, it was the Lord himself that created the Sabbath. After the sixth day, he created everything. On the seventh day, he rested. And it was God that has instituted rest times. Remember Pastor Rick Warren, years and years ago, he developed a practice early on that helped him greatly and that he also shared with others. And it was this, divert daily. Say this with me, divert daily, withdraw weekly, and abandon annually. Right? And so these practices, you put that in there, that daily, just take some time to just sit down and rest. And just meditate and reflect on the Lord. Take a day off. I've mentioned this before, but folks, we're like in the American culture, like we pat ourselves on the back for ignoring the 10th commandment, the fourth commandment, right? We get 9 out of 10 right, but the other one, you know, about the Sabbath, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Are you taking time? Are you taking a day each week to rest? Is that principle still intact? Or has God abandoned it? We've done away with it. That principle of rest is still intact. How many know God wants you to get rested and refreshed and to relax and to enjoy Him and to enjoy one another, right? And we got lots of time. Obviously, we need to work. It makes rest more enjoyable. You really won't enjoy your rest if you're resting all the time. Yeah? So all these things. And so in Scripture, we see that Isaac meditated. Isaac meditated, and we find him there. It was interesting that it was actually in that time that it records that Isaac meditated, that it was at that moment that he was out in meditation, and all of a sudden he saw in the distance, he saw his bride-to-be. And what a great thing that Isaac's union with his wife, Rebekah, came about because of prayer and meditation. The servant of Abraham had gone out to find a wife for Isaac. That's just how they did it back then. How many of you would trust somebody here to go out and say, hey, you know, go find my son a wife? How many of you would trust somebody to do that? That's what happened, right? But thank the Lord, the guy was a praying man, and he was led by the Lord and led him to Rebekah. And then when they came back, it was Isaac who was praying. He had reason to pray and meditate, right? And he probably knew that somebody was out looking for his wife, but he was praying and meditating. I mean, that's a great way to find a spouse. Just saying, you know, I found Lori. I'm not ashamed to say it. I had people praying for me. And my family's not saved at the time. And one of the great teachers there at Central Bible College, Opal Redden, who was there for 24 years and as a teacher, greatly admired, respected, and just an incredible person. And she prayed over me. She prayed for me. God direct him. Pray God would lead me to the wife God had for me and that we'd align in ministry and all of that. How many of you glad for that? Or how many of you relying on this? I'm praying, we're praying, I'm praying if Jesus tarries, I'm already praying for our grandkids. Lord, raise them up and while you're raising them up, raise up a godly spouse for them that's going to be sold out to you, that loves you and loves them, should you tarry. Amen? Now, Chase and Kate are not going to let Emma get married until she's, you know, 32, but anyway. But it's important, but anyway, all of that, rest and relaxation, getting back to the main thing, and that is we see Jesus himself regularly withdrew to a place to pray and to meditate. And it was during our time on Molokai that we would take time, and Lori and I would just get up each morning. We'd get up, and we'd have a cup of coffee. We'd take out our Bible, and we'd pray together in the morning to begin. At other times, she would be praying out on the patio. I'd be praying in the living room. And we would spend the bulk of the morning hours, 3 or 4 hours average on each day, just listening. You say, Pastor, how can you do that? If you've ever done it, you'll find that it's easy. And you're just there in the presence of the Lord. And you just, no pressure, no worries, and there's other things that I can say along the way, but just taking it in. How many know the scripture says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates. Meditates when? Day and night. And you want your kids to be successful, we promote a lot of the other things, a lot of things in their life, but if you really want them to be successful, then teach them to meditate on the Word of God. These kids up there where they're getting the Word of God, teach them to value that, and not just to get and say, hey, I quoted a scripture, but to meditate on that and to reflect. So to be there with no pressure, no rush, just to sit there and just to be in God's presence, to pray, read the Word, read books. We read over, each of us read over 4 books apiece in the time that we were there, and just begin to just reflect on that and take it in. Listen. Listening is important. If you're talking, you're not listening. If you're talking, if you're not listening, you're not learning. And sometimes while there's things certain we need to express to the Lord, absolutely, but we need to take time listening to the Lord and just reflecting on the Lord, rest in God's presence, relax in God's presence. Folks, I'm telling you something that is so, it's essential. We're talking about travel essentials, right? And you need to take time to rest. But America, we pat ourselves on the back for going 24-7, 24-7. Oh, aren't you a worker? Aren't you a great work ethic and all of this? And oh, we're just wasting time. I can make all this money over here. You know, it's one of the great disciplines that God taught his people, that while all the other world was working 24-7, he said, not for you. I want you to chill. And I don't want you to do anything. In fact, you prepare your meals for Sunday, for Saturday at that time, the Sabbath. You prepare your meals ahead of time. You be ready. I don't want any of this stuff. No carrying any burdens. I want you just to rest and enjoy. How do you know that's hard? That's hard sometimes. Just to sit there and say, I'm gonna, oh, I got all this, and you feel you just like, I got to get up, do this. I got to go, got to do this. But to sit back and relax, and to take in the presence of the Lord, right? But in recreation, there's creation. Did you know that? In recreation, there's recreation. And we take in and we see creation. One of the great things was to sit back and just to see the beauty and majesty of God. Did you know that creation is one of God's great pulpits? It's one of the great ways he speaks. You read Romans 1 and 20, and that's why the world is without excuse, because we see God's wonderful attributes revealed in nature itself, right? And so we see these things, and so creation, recreation, and God just creates you and refreshes and renews you. And so that you're able to accomplish more. Israel's able to accomplish more because they had the blessing and favor of God. They could accomplish more because they were rested in 6 days and the rest of the world couldn't seven. Imagine that. What's one of the most effective, prosperous, producing fast food chains in America? What is unique about their schedule? They are closed on Sunday. And they have stuck to that. Oh God, I wish, how many of you are like me, you wish everybody just let everybody just shut down? How many of you, we still know how to make a roast. Right? We still know how to get things. We could manage one day and let everybody else take the day off. I feel bad for the people that are out there that are having to work in the restaurants, and I speak to them over and over again, Pastor, we just can't be there on a Sunday. This is one of the big days for our restaurant and whatever, and all those people, and I'm praying, oh God, help them. So, a travel essential. Look at your neighbor and say, rest, relax, have recreation. Right? All right. Now, another thing, and that's this. Let me just say this. How many of you know what this is? What this is? Can't see it. What's that? What's that? I'll get to that in a minute. What's that? I need to zoom in, you know. Yeah, I know. Some of you could look at it afterwards. But let me just say, I mean, World War II, such a major event, not just in our history, but the history of the world. World War II was the deadliest, most destructive war in all of human history. They don't even know how many lives are actually lost. The estimates range anywhere from, get this, 40 million to 50 million. Can't even imagine that. That's the lives that were lost. The cost at that time was approximately $1 trillion. $1 trillion, which we can't even imagine. We don't even know what that is. Today is like it'd be like $63 trillion or something like that. But connected to World War II is a ship called the USS Missouri. The USS Missouri, if you didn't know, is the last battleship that was built by the United States. It played key roles in three different wars. World War II, the Korean War, and also in the Gulf War. In fact, it was from that ship that the first Tomahawk missiles were launched, from the USS Missouri. And most notably, it was on this ship that the Japanese leaders signed surrender papers on September 2nd, 1945. And World War II ended when U.S. General Douglas MacArthur accepted Japan's formal surrender aboard the USS Battleship Missouri. I want you to show, if you got that image up there of the plaque. And so I asked people, I asked Brother Marvin, because Marvin's got like an IQ out the roof, you know. And I knew he would say this. I knew it. I could have written it down on paper. And I'm not saying that because I'm a prophet, but because I said, so I showed him this piece, and I said, Brother Marvin, you know what this is? He said, looks like a round piece of wood to me. And you know what? He's exactly right. It's a round piece of wood. Teak. They would take, on the battleships, they would take and they would put teak floors because, for one thing, it carried on tradition of the original ships that were all wooden. For another thing is, when they carried gunpowder across, you wouldn't have the spark. If metal touched metal and created a spark, you have an explosion or fire. And the other thing is, teak is a great insulator. And those ships being all steel, it served as an insulator. And so the deck of the USS Missouri and the battleships there that were built that were like it had the teak floor. So this round piece of wood is from the floor, the deck of the USS Missouri. Now, you didn't know what you touched and what you held in your hand a while ago. It's just a piece of wood. The point is this: know the value of what you have. How many know that changes things? You look at things, this is a piece of wood. No, it's not just a piece of wood. This is a piece of wood from the USS Missouri, from the very deck where the end of the greatest war in the world took place. How do you know that's significant, right? And so sometimes we have in our possessions, sometimes we have some things of great value, but we just don't appreciate it. We don't know the value of what we have. Along with that, I'll give you another example, another illustration of this, is that when we flew over to Maui, which is where we flew out of to come back home, we flew to Maui, and we attended church there also. And the pastor that morning spoke on along something related to this, and he talked about the fact he was given a watch. And he thought, oh, what a great gift. It's a beautiful watch. That's great. And he would use it to work out. He'd use it to work in the yard. He'd use it whatever, you know, just whatever he needed to do. One day he happened to be in a watch store and was looking through the glass and everything and noticed this watch. And asked the person, he said, I think the price is wrong on this watch. And brought him over and said, is this wrong or is this right? He said, no, that's correct. It was $6,000. It was his watch, $6,000. And he'd been wearing it to work out, to work in the yard and all of that. He didn't know the value of what he had. I'm going to ask you, do you know the value of what you have? Do you realize the value of what you have, being able to come into this room, to be able to worship God? Do you realize the value of your faith? Or do we take it for granted? Do we hold it lightly? God, help us to know and appreciate the value of the things we have. Do you realize the value of your spouse? Do you realize the value of your family, of this church? Do you realize the value of your Bible? Do you realize the value of the ability to pray? To be able at any time, at any place, to pause and call on the name of the Lord of heaven, and he will come and he will be with you. He will answer you, speak to you, talk to you. Folks, how many know we are blessed with so many invaluable things? beyond the priceless. But how many of you like me, sometimes you can find yourself going through and you can tend to take some of these things for granted. And with some of the biggest mistakes that have ever been made in history is because people did not know the value of something that they had, or they just didn't appreciate and guard that valuable object. Amen? And so I want you to just think a minute, take it in. How many of you here this morning, you can say, Pastor, I've got some valuable things. And it's not your bank account. Notice none of the things I told you had anything to do with money. I pray, God help us. I'm giving you some travel essentials. Okay? Know the value of what you have. And the world may not appreciate it. They don't see, how many know the world doesn't see what we see? It's impossible because they're living in blindness just like you and I were blind before we came to know the Lord, right? Spiritual things are the things of God are spiritually discerned, and only when we are born again can we begin to really take it in. And so I pray, God, that he would enlighten us to the things that really matter and that we'll hold them close to our heart, right? So, Lord, help us with this. Well, I'm going to share two more. Can you do it? Two more, right? All right, two more. You ready? And I'm gonna wrap it up. And that is this: be a team player. Be a team player, right? And this is, and I'm sorry, pictures don't do it justice, and it can be kind of pixely, especially to zoom in. But one morning we were out there, and I saw it out on the Pacific Ocean, and this rowing team was out there, and it was amazing how quickly they made their way across. And you could see them, I mean, just all of them, just each of them just in sync, you know, and just going after it. And it was just really meaningful. And so I took that in. I thought about the value of being a team player. And how many know that life is a team effort? It's not a sport, but it is an effort, right? And it's a team, whether it's a husband-wife team, whether it's a family team, or whatever it is, whether it's a team of work. How many of you, when you work with other people? I'm going to lift your hand. If you work, you work, you work with other people. All right? And even if you, so to speak, work by yourself, so to speak, there is oftentimes you're going to have somebody with you. And how many of you are glad that, man, to have that second hand makes a difference? Right? And you can get so much more done. I was looking at this, talking about a team player. And first of all, you got to be a part of a team. And you got to choose to be a part. And how many know this is a volunteer thing? To be in church, how many know we don't. Go out and find people on the street and twist their arm and say, hey, you need to be part of our team. You know, hold something to their throat and say, you know, join us. You know, I mean, God doesn't work that way. It's all a volunteer thing. You got to say, I want to be a part of the team. And so that's first of all, that's where it starts. And to be a part of the team, be a faithful and strong player in your family, in the church, at work. I think one of the things we can excel as a team player, where we can really point people to Christ, is in our work. And how we work and how we perform. I went and saw my dad here over just before the weekend and visit with him. And so because he wanted to spend time with me, he had some guys going on a project. And so they were doing their thing, and he'd go back and give them instruction and whatever. And it was amazing. A couple of times we came back, and the one guy was there. He was he happened to be a Christian guy that I'd went to school with years ago. And I walked up. He knew I was. I didn't know who he was. He changed a lot. I hadn't. He changed a lot. But beard on and everything. And he said, oh, I know you. And I said, oh, I don't think we've ever met. You know, and he said, oh, I'm James. We went to school together. Ah, okay. You know. But anyway, but he was a great, great worker, faithful. I mean, he's there, honest. And he's up there doing it. The other guy, we showed up a couple different times. And the other guy that was supposed to help him wasn't there. He was always out doing something. Oh, he had to run to town. Oh, he had to go run and help his mom. Oh, he had to go do this and whatever. Wasn't working. And but folks, I'm going to tell you, listen, it matters when you're surrounded with people that are good team players. They carry their weight. They're faithful. They're reliable. I shared with the staff here a few weeks ago, a couple months ago now, about some teaching by Patrick Lencioni. He's talking to me about the ideal player. The ideal player. You ready? And I'll give you three things that he shared. He said, be humble. Someone say, be humble. Be hungry. And be smart. Be humble, be hungry, be smart. Now, we talk about humility. Just about, about, you know, humility is not like what we often think. We think about somebody said, oh, well, she just never really lifts herself up. She doesn't talk positive about herself. She never really says anything. You know, she never takes credit for anything and all of that. But humility isn't, it's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. In fact, that's what C.S. Lewis had to say. He said, humility is not thinking less of ourselves. It's thinking about ourselves less. A lack of confidence is not humility. To deny our talent that God gave us is not humility. But God wants us to be humble when we're thinking about other people. He wants us to be hungry. In other words, he wants us to be able to have, and folks, we need it today. I mean, a great work ethic. And where people don't do the bare minimum, they go above and beyond. If this is a line, I'm going to go above and beyond that. How many know that's biblical? Jesus said, the scripture says, right, work for those that you're employed by. Work for them as though you're working for the Lord, right? Go above and beyond. If it takes this level, I'm going to go to the next level. I'm going to do the best, right? So I'm hungry to do the best, to present the best, because this has got my name on it. And I have Jesus' name on me. So what I do doesn't only represent me, it represents him. And so I want to do good work. I want to work with excellence. How many of y'all with me? Right? These are essential things. Be a team player. Be hungry. Be smart. Be humble. Be hungry, it doesn't mean you eat a lot. It means you just want to get things done. You have a hunger to get things done. You have a great work ethic. And being smart has to do with helping others, helping bring out the best in others with your words, with your actions, with your attitude, that you're smart. How many know there's a difference? There's the IQ that we all talk about, and then there's EQ. How many know what EQ is? Emotional quotient. We focus on IQ, intellectual quotient. And I think we're missing in America because we're focusing largely upon the IQ and ignoring the EQ. But I'm going to tell you, God deals with them both. And so we need that intellectual quotient to raise and to grow and be smarter and all of this. But we need that emotional quotient where we know how to relate with one another. When we can feel what another person's feeling, where we can see where they are and we're smart, you know what to do and how to do, when to do it. Right? The timing to do the right things. I told somebody, see, you know what? I'm not really book smart. I just don't feel like I'm that way. I don't feel like I really excel in that. I have to work really hard. But somebody said, but Pastor, but you are smart. You know the right things. You know what's important. And so I want to continue to grow in both. Amen. And getting a master's degree was a big leap of faith, and did it because God told me to. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it. Somebody said, Pastor, you need to get your doctor's degree. I said, nope, not interested. God didn't tell me to do it. I'm not going to do it. Lord, please don't tell me to do that. Amen. Right? Be humble, be hungry, be smart. How many of you know it's important for you to be a team player? And we'll be talking more about this. I'll be moving here sometime here soon. I'll be talking about just the church and building the church, building the family of God. It's part of who we are. How many know Jesus is building his church? Right? And now I'll leave you with just one final thought. And there's so much more, and I'll be sharing more about just things I felt, takeaways, things that God put up on my heart while we were away. But The final thing is this, and that is keep moving forward. Look at your neighbor. Say, keep moving forward. Right? Keep walking. If you would, this is a brief video, and it won't show exactly everything, but take this in. Attractive, isn't it? I don't know if you can pause that video right there, if it'll hold steady, but I'll just leave it there. There again, I mean, even if that picture was as clear as what it is on our phone, it just doesn't do it justice. None of these pictures do it justice. The color is just so bright and everything. But this is one of the beaches that we had gone to. There was a beach that was closest to where we were staying, which we could see out the patio of the condo we were in. And so a number of people would go there. And like I said, there were times when we'd have even that beach all to ourselves. Then there was another beach a little bit farther north that the locals would go to. They would drive in just a very rough, rocky road. And some of those would go there. And it was a beautiful beach with some shade. But when we went to this one, we had to drive through that rough area, that rough, rocky road, and then get out and walk. We walked on that path that you saw at the beginning, that path. We had to walk probably as far as from here to the hospital along that path. And we get in there, and Lori and I walk, and when you get to the end of it, a lot of time you had to lift up your flip-flops, and there would be just all kinds of thorns stuck in the bottom of it. Sometimes they'd be sticking through your flip-flops and going all the way through. But through that, it was just not really attractive. But I just found that and searched out that beach and went there and just kept walking. You're walking through stuff. It was just really barren and just not really attractive. And then you get there and you get to that place where you can overlook the beach, and like I said, doesn't do it justice, not even close. And it's just beautiful. It's amazing. I mean, it just take your breath away. It was, like I said, I may have said that earlier, but it's one of the places where one of the scenes of Pirates of the Caribbean was filmed. And so I say this, listen, friend, keep moving forward. Keep walking. Don't stop. There's so many things I say, don't stop, don't quit, right? Take the path less traveled. How many know we're on a path less traveled? Few there be that walk in it, right? Narrow's the path, narrow's the way, narrow's the gate. Few there be that walk in it. Take that path. I was listening to a message by Dave Reaver, and Dave was sharing one of the things that he did when he was over at Vietnam is that he would always make the practice of taking that path that few had traveled, because he knew that if they were going to set a tripwire or a booby trap or something like that, it would be on the paths that were clear, that was easier for people to walk down. And so he would always make it his habit when he got to those tough areas that he would walk through the places that few had gone. And I just want to say to you, keep moving forward. If we hadn't done that, you know, we could have just enjoyed the beach where we were, which was fantastic. I don't mean to belittle it at all. Or we could have settled where other people had driven in and just walked a few feet. But we chose to go farther and to keep walking and to go farther north than any others had traveled. And we got to experience something that nobody else. Folks, there's no footprints on that beach, on that sand. We were the only ones there taking it all in. I mean, you know, Hollywood had chosen as a place to film. It was spectacular, beautiful. But we only took it, we're able to enjoy it was because we chose to keep on walking, to keep moving forward. And I want to encourage you as a last final thing I'll share about traveling essential, and that is keep moving forward. How many know God takes us from glory to glory? And I want to point out something here. Sometimes we think, oh man, I'm waiting for this. I'm going through this tough time. God's going to bring me to a place of glory. Now listen, he takes us from glory to glory. All the beaches that we were experiencing had glory. He's going to take you from glory to glory. And so if you're in a tough spot, I think until you get to that place where you experience the glory out of that, the goodness out of that God has for you, only then are you or I ready to go to that other place. So keep walking. Keep progressing. Don't you quit. Amen? You keep moving forward in spite of how hard it is, and we all get there. Listen, you're not the only one. You're not the only one. The enemy throws things at you. And I'm going to tell you, there will be two, maybe three times in your life, you will hit a wall. Somebody who's been walking with God and you're older of age. Anybody here in your 70s, you know what I'm talking about. Come on, lift your hand. You hit a wall. Come on, lift your hand high. I'm not 70 yet, but I lift my hand. Why am I telling you that? Because I want you to be prepared. You're going to hit that wall, but you keep, don't pay attention to him. He's moving forward. I don't know who that was. You keep moving forward. Have you blown it? Have you missed it? Have you tripped up somewhere? The enemy will try to discourage you and get you to quit. You keep moving forward. Why? Because you got your eye on the prize. Because we're going to a beautiful place. And don't you quit. We are not of those who shrink back. Right? The crown is for those who continue to the very end. He who continues to the end will be saved. And so you keep moving forward. And whatever way you've blown it, deal with it with God and then get up and keep on going. Don't quit because it's hard. Don't quit because it's been tough. Don't quit because you've made a mistake. You know, I think that's really the main difference between what Peter did and what Judas did. Judas stopped moving forward. He went and hung himself. Did he deny the Lord? Absolutely. Did he betray God? Yes. But so did Peter. Three times. He didn't betray the Lord like Judas did, but he betrayed him. He denied him three times. Even started using sailor language to convince people that he didn't know him. Right? He started cursing. No, I don't know the guy. And he blew it. But he didn't quit. And Jesus helped him. Remember Jesus said before that, I prayed for you that your faith would not fail, Peter, that when you are restored, when you are lifted back up, that you go and you strengthen your brothers. So you keep moving forward. God has more for you. And how many know it doesn't matter where we are in our life? It doesn't matter where we are in what stage of life. God always has more. Amen? Travel essentials. These are essentials. And I pray this is a lot that I share with you from today and from last week. Truthfully, I could take each one of these and preach a message, if not a series of messages on each one. But I just wanted to, I wanted to share some of the things that we received in our trip. And this is just touches the tip of the iceberg, really. But I pray they'll be helpful to you. Because Lori and I love you. We care about you and how you're doing. God's got you. Amen? And we know what time we're in, but thank God. How many glad for the joy of the Lord, right? For the blessing of God's people. Praise God for the goodness of God. Amen? All his creation. Did you know he created all that for you? When you look at his beautiful creation, he created that for you. And you know what else? After he made all that, then he made mankind. You are the crown of his creation. As beautiful and amazing as all of that is, you're the crown of God's creation. You're so loved. You are so valuable.